Once again, this is James Coe with Indy for you. We're going to cover the top five changes you need to make in 2012. What I want everyone to do before we get started is to get a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper, front and back, because this one paper is going to be your map. It's going to be a guide for the rest of 2012 for you. 2012 is either going to be a very good year or a very, very, very bad year for you. And it's really up to you. It's within your control.
Correct,
but it's totally up to you. So get a piece of paper, get a pen, because I want you to write some things down. And tonight is going to be more important than most of the other teleconferences that you write some things down. So while you, those of you are getting a piece of paper and a pen, and keep the front, and the paper should be front and back. So what I want you to do is on the front of your paper, I want you to draw a vertical line down the middle so you have two columns. And up at the top put 2012. And then in the left column, in the first left column, I want you to write to do, things you're going to do in 2012. And then on the right column, second right column, I want you to put stop doing. And then later we're going to refer to the back of the paper. We're going to write some things on the back. But let's go and get started. I want to cover in this tonight's teleconference, you know, top things that you need to do differently in 2012. What do you guys think? Do you know, are you guys excited or not excited about 2012? I'd like to hear from some of you.
I'm not too excited about the insurance companies and all the different policies and deductibles and limitations and Medicare maybe doing a cut.
Yeah, I mean, it appears that there's a lot of changes going on in reimbursement and insurers, right? I mean, it appears to be a bad thing, doesn't it?
Well, along with the economy, with people, you know, I have people that have had great insurance last year, and their businesses said, you get this policy or you get Kaiser, and they have no choice. People are out of work. It's tough.
It really is. It really is. And it seems like insurance companies are making more profits than ever. And increasing premiums more than ever, which I don't understand, but you know, that's politics and that's the game we're in. But even though people are, you know, really going bankrupt, losing their jobs and foreclosing on their homes and you know, so and having to downsize their lifestyles and everything. And you know, the country is going more in debt, but yet insurance companies are hitting record profits. So, but you know, that's the game that we're in, and it appears to be a bad thing. But I'm gonna tell you that you know it doesn't have to be. There's always things you can do that can rise above it, and I'm gonna cover some of those things tonight. Anyone else? Are you excited or not excited about 2012?
This is Colette.
Hi, Colette.
Hi. I'm excited.
Tell me why you're excited.
Because things can only get better.
It can't get much worse than what you're saying.
No, no. Well, really, I mean, they can get better, they can get worse. But if you take action, if you have a plan, there's things you can do to make things better.
I love that attitude. I really do. I appreciate you sharing that. Anyone else? All right. I want you to write this. Oh, go ahead. Somebody was going to say something.
Yeah, James, this is Frank and Amy over here in McLaren with the physical therapy. And I just want to say, yeah, we're also excited. Because, one, we're new at this. You know, it's our first practice, and we've only been open for a couple of weeks. And I guess everybody's saying, you know, that the time is tough. But even though that's true, I think, you know, it's a good time to do it so that we can start kind of seeing what works and stick with that when the times are good, then we can do that and more, you know?
And this is Frank in Texas, correct?
That's correct.
Hey, Frank, you know what, everyone, you know, congratulate Frank. He just opened up his practice. You said 2 weeks you've been open?
No, 4 weeks.
4 weeks you've been open? Congratulations, Frank.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Well, let me go ahead and let's kind of jump into this. I want you to write this down. Things that you must do, things, you know, changes. Some of it, some of you might not be having to make too many changes, but these are things that you want to do in 2012. Now, some of you have already heard. Now, number one, some of you may have already heard me talk about intimacy. 2012 in business, the big word in business, and believe it or not, you guys, probably about 95% of businesses don't know what I'm about to tell you. But this is something that is beyond just my opinion. It's really about the trend and some of the predictions and some of the things that are happening today. But the word, I want you to write down the word intimacy. Now, what does that mean? You as a business, intimacy and incorporating, implementing, embracing intimacy in your business with your employees, with your customers, your patients, is going to be key in 2012. Now, what does that mean, intimacy? How do you have intimacy with your patients? Now, but the thing is, I also want, you know, this is just as important, if not as or more important, intimacy is important with your prospective patients, people who have never been into your facility yet. Intimacy has to reach out to those prospects and those customers. Now, how do you actually do it? Number one, I want you to write this down as part of how to incorporate and make your practice more intimate to your community, to your physician. So I want you to write these three things down, and really it's keys. First is transparency. Second is time. And third is training. Now, what I mean by intimacy and transparency being one of those things is you have to share more about you and your organization than you ever have before. You have to put pictures of yourself, your staff. You have to create a mission statement, what you believe. You have to share your personal interests. I mean, if you like dogs, if you like hiking, if you are into martial arts, these are all things that people want to know and have to know now to draw closer to you so that they feel more intimate with you, and then they will choose you or they will insist on seeing you versus anybody else. Now, I've never been a fan of this, I'm going to tell you guys. I've always liked being in the back seat, under the radar. I've never liked to put myself into the forefront. That's why I don't have large conferences. I had the option of having a couple of large conferences a year where we have, you know, 100, 150 people versus, you know, 10, 11 short, you know, small conferences, which requires more work for me, but I preferred doing the 30, 40 people per class type of small. I even like 15, actually. I like 15 people in my class. That's ideal for me. But I've never liked it. But in 2012, you guys, I even linked my personal website where people can see, you know, my wife, they can see my family, they can see pictures of my dogs, they can see videos of my wedding. I even started a Facebook. No, oh, I started one, but I mean, I'm even starting to get more, take more action on Facebook, and I created a LinkedIn account recently, and I'm starting to do more of those kind of things so that people can feel more comfortable, more familiar with you. So that's transparency. Now, one of the things I want all of you to do is I want you to get an 8x10, you know, photo of you, profile picture of you. And it doesn't have to be your traditional, like, yearbook kind of a photo. You know, it could be something fun. I prefer something with, like, a natural background, maybe a picture of you from an angle, kind of, you know, a picture, you know, shooting down on you, something that gives you a very it's not informal. I don't want you to have an informal pic, but it should be like a professional picture, but one that where it poses you as being approachable. And you know, you should still look nice. You know, for some of you, you may need to get it photoshopped, but I'm just kidding. But, you know, make it look nice, and but it, make it look approachable. Someone who, you know, that people will say, you know, I this guy looks like he could be my friend, or she looks like somebody I could really talk to. And I want you to put that 8x10 photo in your lobby, actually where people can see it when they're sitting and waiting for their appointment. New patients is going to be especially important for them to see that photo. And also, not only of just your physical therapist, but I would like to see even a picture of everybody, your techs, your admin assistant, your receptionist. I would like to see their pictures as well, along with, you know, a name and title on that picture. That's one thing. And I also would like to make sure that you put pictures of your staff on your website as well, and not just their name and title, but, you know, have them share some personal things. What are some of their personal hobbies? What are some of their personal interests? Also, I'd like them to answer, you know, what, you know, why they like working in a physical therapy business. You know, why, you know, what is it they like about working with patients? I want them to share these kind of things so that people can actually read these things and feel like they kind of know you even before they meet you. Those are just some of the things you can do. And if, you know, for those patients who may not have seen your website, we even have a 3-ring binder that we created with a picture of each staff member, like a profile page in the 3-ring binder of each staff member, which has their bio, which has their personal hobbies and interests and all those things. So transparency is very important. Getting prospects, potential customers, to feel like they know you even before they meet you. That is your goal in 2012. Now, another thing about transparency. Are there any questions with that first? There's a lot of things you can do to be more transparent, to get people to feel like they can get to know you beforehand. Now, one of the things, let me just throw this in here as well, is in 2012, all of you should have a virtual tour of your facility online on your website. Someone should be able to see what your gym, what your treatment rooms, what your reception, what they, you know, and even see some of your staff talking in the video. They should see this before they even come in. Now, some of you, if you don't feel like you can actually, it's going to be easy for you to produce a video, I'm going to say, you know, just take snapshots, take some good pictures, and at least have a picture slideshow on your website. Transparency. All right. Another thing about transparency, another area that where you need to be transparent, does anyone care to take a guess? You're going to have to be transparent with your prices, your financial expectations. It's going to be important that there's no financial ambiguity. So you should put your prices on your website if you don't already have it. You should have prices of your programs available. You should have prices of any elective services, any supersized services. You should have these on your website, but you should also have them on a piece of paper or a little, you know, counter sign. You should have these prices. In 2012, more than ever, financial ambiguity is going to be the number one reason why a patient comes in and leaves and never comes back. A patient who's been treated for a while leaves and never comes back. Financial ambiguity is going to be a big killer of business this year. Any questions so far? All right. Now, still in the topic of intimacy, another thing is training. You must train your staff more than you ever have before to be more intimate. They have to share, just like you're going to create a picture, get a profile picture, and get files out of you, you want to do it with your staff. But also, even when patients come in, you must train your staff to be more intimate. Now, what that means is they must not use certain words, and they must use certain words. They must never say no to any question that a patient may have. They should always use words such as care. We care for patients. We work with patients. Never should they use words like, I deal with patients. They should always say welcome, thank you, I'm sorry, that's horrible. They have to use words that keep it, that make people want to do business with them, want to get to know them better, want to gravitate towards. Training them is very important. Looking patients in the eye. Why is it so important to look patients in the eye? Even though you're having a bad hair day, even though you just recently bounced a check, even though you feel, you know, you're not at the top of your game, why is it important you still look at a patient in the eye? Does anyone remember? It's the only way to see a person's soul is looking them in the eye. All right, third key. Are there any questions with that? Now, obviously, it's not within the scope of this teleconference for me to get into specific training techniques and training steps, but definitely we're going to cover this in courses throughout 2012. The third key is time. Time is an important part of transparency in your business. What does that mean? You must never look too busy for a patient. You must pay attention to them when they're talking to you and not seem like you don't have enough time for them. This is especially important for the receptionist. Receptionists cannot try to rush off the phone. Receptionists cannot look busy when a patient is walking in. A receptionist cannot do these things, as well as the therapist as well. You cannot be walking out of the room while the patient's talking to you and just looking over your shoulder. You've got to turn, face them. So time is something that patients have to believe that you're willing to give to them. Now, I'm not saying that you see patients for an hour and a half. That's by far what I'm saying, and you shouldn't do that. But what I am saying is, you should, the short period of time, even if you're only seeing them for 30 minutes and that's all their treatment's going to be, you should still make them feel like that 30 minutes that you are available, that you that they are important to you, and that, you know, you're willing to give them time that's necessary. Now, on the other column, what you need to stop doing, since we're on the subject of time, number one, in 2012, of what you need to stop doing, write this down. You need to stop wasting time. You as the business owner, the captain of your ship, I'm going to tell you, time, everyone here knows time is valuable, right? I'm going to tell you, hear what I'm saying. You can spend money. And you can make money back. Time, once you spend it, you can never get it back. Time is the most precious commodity. It's the most precious, valuable thing that is given to you while here on this earth. You need to stop wasting it. You need to stop doing those things that don't bring any return to anybody. You need to stop doing those things that lead you away from where you want to be 5 years, 2 years, 10 years from now. You need to stop wasting time. Life is short. You need to start success today. Any questions so far? All right. The second thing that you need to do, that I really hope you do in 2012 to become more successful, is in the category of receptionist. as you guys know, any business that needs to improve, any business that's suffering, that's failing, where's the first place I look? You guys know?
The front desk.
Exactly. I look at the front desk, and the most important component to that front desk is the receptionist. I'm going to tell you guys, this year in 2012, you have to decide, do I love my receptionist? Do patients love my receptionist? Do my staff love my receptionist? Because if those answers are not an emphatic yes, I'm going to tell you this, and it might sound harsh, but I'm going to tell you this. In 2012, you have to replace them. Now, some of you are thinking, James, I don't love them. Patients don't love them, but I think I can work with them and train them and make them know. You can't make someone lovable. You need to replace them. Now, some of you, I'm going to tell you, if you need to talk to somebody who has taken this bold step, has taken this difficult step, and seen what the results were, I will give you a handful of numbers of people, practices, who have made that decision and made that step and said, you know what, James, now that I've done it, now that it's 30 days into it, James, I have to tell you, I wish I would have done it a year ago. I wish I would have done it 6 months ago. It changes everything. And your receptionist can do that. Now, granted, if your receptionist is lovable, but she's still making mistakes, train her. Train her. Any questions? Third thing. In 2012, you guys, 2012, you have to start using the word sales. In 2012, you must hone your skills in sales. I know that you don't like the idea of that. I don't either. But you have to. It's not a matter of, you know, should I or shouldn't I? I mean, it's a matter of you have to do it. Now, you don't have to be a used car salesman. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is you have to start learning the principles of sales. In 2012, our Private Practice Secrets course is making a lot of changes. It's a brand new course, and we're really going to talk about sales skills. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be, you're going to love it. It's not something you're going to, you know, be allergic to or shy away from. You're really going to love it. But let me tell you right now a couple things real quickly just so that you can start implementing. A good part of sales is defining options and presenting options. So write that down. In 2012, I want you to create options for everything that you offer, everything that you sell. Now, you guys are thinking, okay, well, James, you know, I offer physical therapy. Okay, well, I want you to create options for them to access it. So if you are not really being clear and aggressive with presenting the $499 pain relief package, that's an option. Or they can do 30% off your regular rates and just go treatment by treatment. Or they can use their insurance and, you know, pay their deductible and coinsurance off of your insurance rates. You know, these are different options that you should present to everybody. Some of you right now, some are like, you guys have practices where you primarily see insurance patients, even Medicare patients, you guys. Some of you are offering, you know, you guys think, okay, well, they have insurance. They're not going to be interested. They're not going to be interested in my $499 package, or they're not going to be interested in just paying out of pocket and you know, getting 30% discount off my services. Is that true, you guys? Are insurance patients not interested in any of those things? No. Is there anybody out there that knows otherwise?
always on the presentation.
They love you, and they know the value of your people, and they later on want, you know, more service, and the insurance don't cover. You can offer that to them.
Is it important that you... Go ahead.
He is my patient that's loved the $4.99 that we offer and the $7.99, especially those who have very high deductibles.
The ones who has anyone out there been selling $499 packages?
No, I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, James, we sell them.
You guys, who are you selling them to?
Well, the last one we sold was to a lady that had a network with her insurance company, but she felt that we were going to help her, and she was willing to pay for it.
Our insurance patients with high deductibles, our insurance HMO patients who you're not contracted with, are they paying that $4.99?
Absolutely.
Yes, yes.
You guys, if you don't offer it, you know, offering options to people, is that hard sales? Are you being like a used car salesman? No.
Not
all you're doing is you're presenting options. You guys, 2012, write this down, is the year of options. If people are not presented options, they will not choose you.
Starting 2012, a lot of insurance companies are shifting to HSA.
You're very correct.
What is that?
It's a health savings account.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I'm not going to get too much into that, but you guys, the world of insurance is changing. And who just shared that about the HSA? Who shared that?
Oh, this is Lisa.
Lisa.
Chase, who employs a lot of employees, freshman physical therapy. Chase, who is employing a lot of, one of the biggest employer in New York City, they, starting 2012, all their insurance are HSA.
And how does that impact you?
Again, we have to be able to inform our patients what are their options, I guess, and, you know, and give them a choice and, you know, spend their HSA dollars on us instead of someplace else.
Okay, those of you, and thank you, Liza, but those of you who don't know what we're talking about, don't know exactly what an HSA is, basically this is what it is, and how does it impact you? HSAs are patients, it's their patients' money that's in the account. It's tax-free dollars in their health savings account. They get to choose how they spend it, where they spend it. You guys can get these patients to pay $4.99, $7.99 for the chronic pain package. You can get these guys to pay for these because it's their money. The insurance isn't part of the game of approving or not. But it's your job to make sure and inform the patient of what their options are, because I'm going to tell you, some people have HSAs, but they also have regular insurance plans. It's you informing and presenting options. And hell, just let them choose, all right? Any questions on that?
Well, James, I do have one question, and I don't want to get out of the scope of this conversation, but are you still obligated to charge your contracted rates? Say you have a Blue Cross plan, the person has an HSA through Blue Cross. Can you offer them a cash discount when they're using their HSA up front, or are you stuck going with that contracted arrangement you have with that carrier?
When the patient has a deductible, is you know, obviously if they don't have a deductible and you are contracted with their plan, obviously there's really the best option is to just go through their insurance, correct?
Right.
Because that way, I mean, you've agreed upon a certain rate, patient doesn't have a deductible, they can get access to your services and the insurance is going to cover it. So, but we're talking about those situations where patients have a deductible or they have no insurance at all, or they have an insurance that they don't want to use. Those are the ones that's really going to be, you know, and once again, the reason why it's so important to present options is because even if that insurance patient is, let's say, a Blue Cross patient who has no deductible and you're contracted, even if it's one of those, it's still important to present the options or make them at least be aware of the options. Why? Because do they have family and friends? Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. Yes, I agree.
And also they, you know, their insurance benefits may run out, something may happen, but now that they are aware that you have these other options, they will exercise it if they know.
Okay, thanks.
Jane, sorry to interrupt real quick. You said if we are in-network, we are required to take their insurance?
If you have signed a contract, then you're agreeing to certain rates with an insurance plan. You can't charge, you cannot charge anything outside of that plan. You can't charge differently than what you've agreed to. However, if the patient has a deductible, let's say a $500, $1,000, so I'm seeing as high as $5,000 deductibles. Are you guys not?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So patients who have deductibles, even though you're in that plan, the patient is essentially paying out of pocket. You don't need to see them through their insurance plan. They can just pay you for your programs and your services. But I'm going to tell you, the way that your programs and services are set up, you're never actually charging less than the contracted rate anyhow. So you can't really get burned by Medicare or any insurer because you're not actually charging less. In some cases, you're actually charging more for your cash program than their actual insurance plan.
Excuse me, James.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the $499 plan, can that be going to their deductible too, or just that's separate?
If you want to actually, if the patient actually wants to submit it to the insurance and have it applied to their deductible, they have to do that on their own. You give them receipts, and then they have to submit it on their own. And you actually have to do a fee slip and make sure that each visit, this update visits, right, the $499, make each visit come out using the 52 modifier. Make your charges in a way where it comes out to about $60 a visit. But remember, you're only doing like 30-minute sessions with that $499 package, 20 to 30-minute sessions.
Thank you, James.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, I wish I could go into detail on all of the questions and those things that we just mentioned, but we don't have that time in this teleconference, but definitely these are the kind of things that we're going to cover in the course so that you understand fully how to actually do this in your practice. All right. Any questions on that, on sales and presenting options? All right, you guys, let me say this. Go to the other side, things you need to stop doing in 2012. Number two, you need to stop sending invoices to patients after discharge. You need to stop sending bills to patients after discharge. You guys need to stop it. If you are not using the fee slip, which makes it very easy to collect patient portions up front at the time of service, if you are not collecting co-insurances, deductibles, co-pays at the time of service, you are in trouble in 2012. If you send a bill to patients after their discharge, you're going to lose them. Now, even if a patient owes you money, in their third, fourth, seventh visit, whatever, get them aware of the amount that they owe you, get them to pay it, sit down and have a discussion, arrange a payment plan, do something. Do not just blow it off. Do not just wait until the patient's discharged and send, usually what's going to happen, but definitely in 2012 what's going to happen, is the patient's going to just stop coming. And then like 2 months later, you send them a bill. You cannot do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, you may be afraid of having a financial discussion with a patient. I know you. You may be afraid to do that, but I'm going to tell you this. What did I say is the number one reason a patient is going to leave and never come back? Do you remember?
Ambiguity. Financial
ambiguity, you guys. A patient is more likely to leave if they're not quite sure what they're going to be liable for, responsible for, they're waiting for you to make it clear to them. They're waiting for you to make an arrangement, make it affordable for them. If you don't do it, you're going to lose them. If you think fearing having financial conversation with a patient is tough, you should fear losing them even more.
James?
Yes.
Yes, I started using the fee slips a few months ago, and when you write down the amount that the patient needs to pay, especially if they have coinsurance and all those things, it really helps because the amount is not as big as they think it would be, and it's so easy for them to pay it every time.
Isn't it?
Yes, it's so easy, and I haven't had a problem getting any payments from my patients since I've done the fee slips. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, and how does that make you feel?
I don't have any problems getting a payment from patients because they like it. They take a copy with them. They see exactly how much I'm charging the insurances, and they just love it. They said that was the... this is Jennifer from Maryland.
Hey, Jennifer, I was hoping to hear that it makes you feel very happy because now you have more cash in your bank account.
Yes, yes, actually, that's what it is. And they like to know how much it is per visit because... Let's say if they just have to pay like $15, $10 from that visit, they'd rather do that than come up with a bill at the end saying they owe 100 and something. They don't like that. So
I
like it because even if it's just a small amount, it just comes in every day for every patient. So it's great.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Yes.
I had a question about the accuracy. For coinsurance, we've had some problems where the EOBs come in and they're a different copay than, say, we were told. What do you do in that situation? Hello?
James isn't chiming in. And this is Paul. What I like to do... I just tell them that I just go off an estimated reimbursement of $120 a visit, and then if they have a 10%, I just say, let's just estimate this at $12, and at the end of the month, when we reconcile our statement, I'll either send you a small check and a small refund, or we'll collect a small bill from you, but I don't like to send large bills, so let's at least estimate this, give it our best faith estimate, knowing that we have to wait until those EOBs come back, but then, you know, then let's reconcile that at the end of the month. But I really have had no objections from that.
Hey,
so
guys.
Hello,
everybody.
So you
this
tell...
This is James Cole with Indy Free. Sorry about that. I got disconnected accidentally.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you, Paul, for that's a great idea. So you tell them, say, $120 a visit and just base it off of that?
Yeah, because I'd rather collect a little bit more and send them a refund at the end of the month than underestimate it and, you know, and be out of money and send them a bill. Patients love getting refunds, and $12 versus $9, you know, it's not that big of a difference. But if they get a $20 check at the end of the month, they love that.
Yeah,
okay.
They do.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you so much for taking over while I was gone.
James, what I said is with that coinsurance, I just tell patients that, you know, let's go off of an estimated, on average, 120 reimbursement per visit, and then and so your 10% is $12, your 20% is $24, and we'll just collect that. And as we go, we'll reconcile our bills with our EOBs at the end of the month. And then I'll either send you a small bill or a small refund. And I just tell people I hate sending bills to people. I'd much rather send you, you know, a very small bill or a small refund. And I really, in 3 years, in 3 years of my own practice, have not had an objection from that. I've had like 3 people not want to pay it up front. So.
And doesn't it make you feel good and the patient feel good getting a check from you, you know, 3 weeks after discharge versus getting a bill?
Depends on how big that check is, but yes, it does.
I'm going to tell you, patients love you. Even if it's $8 or $17. Patients love you. So good job. Thanks for sharing that, Paul. I appreciate that very much. So, all right, you guys. Now, what I want you to do, is flip your paper over, and I want you to write this down. I want you to draw a line down the middle, vertically and horizontally, so you're splitting that piece of paper up into four boxes. Once again, this one piece of paper is going to, and hopefully you're taking notes, this one piece of paper is going to be your map to making 2012 a great, fantastic year versus a horrible year. Just one page, front and back, is going to be your map and your guide. All right. Now, if you have four boxes, in the first upper left-hand box, I want you to write down seniors. You guys, this is an important exercise. Up in the upper left-hand box, put seniors. And then in the upper right-hand box, put parents. In the lower left-hand box, put young adults. In the lower right-hand box, put physicians. Podiatrist, dentist, orthos, neuros, as well as local businesses. Now, there's one more category, and that's kids. But kids, they're not decision makers, are they? Well, actually, my kids are pretty. He controls my decisions sometimes, but really, they're not the decision makers. They belong in the upper right-hand box with parents, but they're not decision makers. All right, now what I want you to do is write this down, because there's. Before you start writing anything down, though, I want you to understand something. There are a lot of ways for you to get new patients. Now you can get there. One of the ways is you can get physicians to refer you patients. Everyone knows that. Another way is you can get family and friends from patients, or referring them, and you can get patients that way. The only other way is to advertise. Now, those are the three ways to get patients. Now, today what I want to really focus on is advertising. Now, I know you hate that word. I know you don't like it because you think, man, it's just about spending a lot of money that don't bring return. But that's not what I'm getting at. You'll see in just a minute. There's several different ways to advertise to prospective patients. Write this down. I just want you to make a list somewhere. There is, you can direct mail. You can mail physically through the post office. Another one is you can email people. Another one is you can phone call. You can actually hire telemarketers, but you can have one of your staff call people, phone call. Another is you can text them on their phones if they have text capability. Another is TV, radio, and newspaper. Now, I'm lumping all of them together. TV, radio, and newspaper. Another way you can advertise is through fax. Another way you can advertise is internet, such as, those internet coupons, Facebook, those kinds of things. And lastly, you can advertise face-to-face. Now, these are all the different ways you can advertise. These are all the different channels available to you. And I'm going to tell you, I know how to advertise through every one of these channels for new patients. And I'm going to tell you, I have tried, I have done different things. I'm going to share with you, though, my opinion. There are certain types of advertising that's best for these four categories that we just put together. You guys following me? I want you to write down in the upper left-hand corner. Before you write it down, though, run it by me. Which one of these do you think is the best way to advertise to seniors?
Direct mail.
Do seniors like checking their mail? Do they like reading their mail?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Direct mail. Put direct mail in that box with seniors. What else?
Cool. Newspaper.
Do seniors like reading the newspaper?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What else?
Face to face. Radio, newspaper, radio.
Do seniors listen to the radio?
Yeah.
You guys, absolutely they listen to the radio. And I can tell you that in every city, in every region, radio stations can tell you who their listeners are. You got to find the radio station because radio advertising is very cheap. All right, what else? Somebody said it, but I want you to say it again.
Face to face,
I'm going to tell you guys, is so positively strong with this group. Face-to-face is one of the most beneficial ways to advertise to this group. That's why offering classes to this group, arthritis classes, total joint replacement, you know, preparing pre- and post-op surgery classes, fall prevention, balance improvement classes. You know, that's why it's so important with this group. But there's another way, too, I want you to put in there. Somebody says, but phone calling. I'm going to tell you, seniors love to talk to you on the phone. Do not be afraid to call your seniors or have telemarketers call seniors. Do not be afraid. They love it. Now, should you call parents on the phone?
No.
You better not. Should you call a young adult and try to telemarket to them?
No.
You guys, there's a channel for everybody. Just like should you text seniors an advertisement through text?
No.
Messaging? Huh? You guys, I'm going to tell you, there's a right channel for every market. But I'm going to tell you, I want to spend a little bit of time in the seniors market because a lot of you are not understanding that if you don't advertise for the senior group, because it's so easy to get their information, you can buy it for like $100. You can easily put a radio ad, find a station that the seniors most listen to in your area, and put a radio ad for dirt cheap, and I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to get called. But face-to-face is always, always the best for this group. So if you are not, you know, having a class or having, even if it's just a one-time thing where you're not doing it regularly every month, you know, have it at your local restaurant that seniors like to go to, where you're actually offering free lunch as well as teaching them something that they want to know about. You're going to have a pretty large group if you advertise it, you know, and promote it properly. You're going to have a pretty large group, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be able to get the word out about your programs, about your facility and your services, but you're also going to get some patients straight out of that. I guarantee you're going to make your money back. All right. Now, let's look at the upper right for parents. What's the best way to market to parents?
Email.
Email.
Pardon?
Email.
Email. I'm going to tell you guys, email is the best way to market to parents. How easy is it to buy a list of emails? It's not that hard. If you have a good
you know, well-designed email, I'm going to tell you, emailing them, you're going to, in the, you know, new prospective patient, you're going to get returns. Also for them, what else is good for parents?
Internet and Facebook.
Social media, internet and social media, Facebook advertising, Groupon, those kind of things. Those are very good for parents.
James, real quick on the email. Anybody having any issues with emails going to spam, or is there a way to control that? We've had some feedback that some of the emails we've been sending out in terms of newsletters are ending up in spam boxes.
Yeah, you got to make sure that you're running Spam Assassin. It's and if you just look online, put you know spam spam detection, Spam Assassin, you're gonna find services and programs that help you to create emails that get through spam filters.
Okay.
But you guys, I'm going to tell you, email and social media is great for this group, but also is face-to-face good?
Yes.
You guys, for parents, they meet you, they get familiar with you, they know more about you, about your staff. I'm going to tell you, when they meet you face-to-face, it's the best way, even with this group, to get them to choose you. So that's another reason why open clinics, where you're given free sessions, a taste of what your programs might be, you know, and make sure you're promoting it in the proper places for these parents, whether by email or social media. You know, advertise your open clinic on Facebook. Advertise this in your email. I'm going to tell you guys, you're going to get people coming. All right, young adults. What works with young adults? You know, non-parents, but still adults.
Sex.
Pardon?
6 months.
Say that again.
16.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Texting.
Texting.
Texting. You guys, texting. You know that this group texts all the time, right? Correct?
Yes.
You guys text. Some of you guys text a lot. But my question is, how do you enjoy getting advertisements in your text?
No.
I mean, do you get a lot of advertisement in your text?
Not too much.
I mean, do you prefer that? Do you prefer some of the companies that you buy from and do business with, do you prefer that they actually text you promotions and advertisements?
No.
I'm going to tell you. Pardon?
More educational pieces, like the tip of the day to alleviate back pain or something.
But, I mean, would you prefer getting it in your email or text?
Email.
The reason why I don't like getting text is because my phone vibrates when I get a text. You know what I mean? When I get an email, it doesn't vibrate.
Huh?
And I get email on my phone, right? Do you guys get emails on your phone?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I get emails on my phone, but I also get texts on my phone. When I get an email on my phone, I don't mind email, you know, these kind of advertisements, promotions, or any even educational stuff. I don't mind getting by email, but I don't like it getting by text, I'm going to tell you. And I'm going to tell you, the people in this category, you are one of these people. They're not going to like you getting text from you. It's not a good way. What's a better way is by email. This group must advertise by email. And then, because, you know, to be honest with you, emails for this category group is much easier to get. There's a lot more opt-in lists for this group than getting their cell phone numbers. What's another way?
Social network.
I'm going to tell you, the internet. This group really follows the internet, really follows social media. So doing LinkedIn,
doing Facebook ads, but what are you actually promoting? You've got to choose and create something exciting. So once again, open clinics, you guys. Open clinics. Now, if you have some kind of a e-guide, if you've taken what I've given you in my class the last couple of years on how to create an e-guide in less than 60 minutes, if you answer those questions and put together an e-guide, then you can promote the e-guide to them through Facebook ads and through email blasts. But I'm going to tell you, I don't recommend texting. It's just not desirable for most people. All right, last group, the physicians, podiatrists, dentists, orthos, neuros, and local businesses. This is a big, big market. This is a big box, isn't it? You get potential referrals and new patients, right?
Uh-huh.
What's the best way to advertise to them? I'm going to tell you, pardon?
Brochures.
Oh, brochures?
Faxes.
Direct mail.
You guys, I'm going
to... Face-to-face.
Once again, face-to-face is a very good way, but not you going door-to-door, because that's an intrusion. Just like when someone texts me a promotion, which it rarely happens, but when they do, I get annoyed. So just like that, you don't want to go pounding on their door, but if you can get them to come to your open clinic or class and get face-to-face, that's a great way. To do like, even to go to a larger, medium to large-sized business in your area, to do like a health screening, to do like a ergonomic injury prevention screening, to do chair massages, to do health and fitness screenings for the employees. These are promotions you can do, and you'll get face-to-face with a lot of people in that organization, in that company. And the best way, I believe, is fax. Faxing is so cheap, and every business checks their fax 10 times a day. Doctors check it 20 times a day. So it's just the best way to get things in front of them. Now, you will get 3% of everyone you fax that's going to say, stop faxing me. Some of them even get very angry, and they get very upset. But that's only 3%. Should you stop faxing because of 3%? No. No way, you guys. I'm going to tell you, that 3%, even if you were to bring them chocolate, coffee, and candy, they would never do business with you anyway. So you're not losing anything by losing them. Get rid of them and focus on the other 97% who will eventually send you patients if you consistently send them good information and make them aware of things that they would want to know about. What else? Facts we got, but face-to-face. It's really the only way. Now, you can do direct mail to local businesses. You can do direct mail to physicians. It's a little more costly, so you better make sure you have something exciting that you're offering. But direct mail is more costly, but it is a way you can do it. Do you want to call them? No. You don't want to phone call them. They hate solicitors. Do you want to text them? No. All right. Any questions?
I have a quick question. When you're talking about faxing to the doctors, like I'll have friends and family be referred by the patients I have. Now I have a potential new physician. If I go to fax them, you say fax them good information. Are you talking about what our facility is all about? Are you talking about offering them to come for a clinic and their employees? I mean, can you give me an example of what I might fax to a potential, if I have a doctor that I've never heard of before? I always do the initial eval and thank you for the referral and that, but...
The best thing, if you have a physician that, you know, that you've never met, you don't know about, and it's because a patient came in through a friend or family, the best thing to send them is a thank you postcard from that patient to their doctor. So have the patient send a thank you postcard to their doctor. That's the number one first thing. The
have
second
the patient
thing,
send it?
Yeah, give the patient one of your company postcards. And you may not know what I'm talking about, but you will see that in the class we show you a lot of different methods. But thank you postcards that you, it's like your company has your own thank you postcards, and you give it to your patients to send to their doctor saying, thank you for sending me here. That's the number one best way to make a good impression on a new physician. Now, secondly, then what you do is you fax them a survey. Now, the survey isn't like, what do you think of physical therapy, all this crap. No, that's not a survey. Survey is, what type of free class in the community do you think is needed? What topic, what subject should we, should, so get their opinions on what kind of class should be offered for the community. Pick their brain and get their opinion on that. That's the next thing. Third thing is to send them fact blast about charitable things, like have them send their office staff to you to get weighed, and then they get 60 days, 30 or 60 days later, the staff member comes back to you to get weighed. And for every dollar, for every pound that they lose in weight, you will donate a dollar to this local charity.
Okay.
These are the best ways to make a good impression on a new doc. You never ask them for patients. That's the beauty of it. But they will eventually send you more if you do these three things.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
James, I have a thought. Would you still continue doing some health fairs? I have done that a couple of years ago, but have not done that last year since I have not been getting anything back from that health fair.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. Are you on a speakerphone or?
Yes, James, hold on. Yes, I'm sorry. What I am asking is, I used to do a lot of health fairs. Health fairs, in the community, and offering some free service screenings, but I'm even free massages, but I've noticed so that I have not really been getting anything from it, so this year I quit doing the health fairs.
Yeah, I want to tell you that you're not alone. Most practices that participate in health fairs usually end up, you know, giving a lot of their time and energy and sometimes money without getting anything in return. Because that's what health fairs are about. They're about free. It's all free. It's not something I participate in ever. It's not something that it does well. Now, there is a way to benefit out of health fairs, but you know, I can't go into it now. I can definitely cover it in a course. But I would say for most of you, stay away from health fairs.
Tried it too. It didn't work. Tried it too. It didn't work.
Yeah, it's not a good way. Pardon?
I said I found it the hard way.
You found it the hard way. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I know it just seems like you just wasted so much time and energy, but you know, there's a way. So if you have a lot of health fairs and you want to somehow figure out a way to actually benefit from them, I'll show you, because there is a way to do it. And I learned the hard way too, Marie, so you're not alone.
Okay.
But that's definitely for the discussion for another day.
Thank you, James.
Mm-hmm. You guys, I know we're running a little bit late, so I am going to go ahead and wrap this up. If you do have any questions, email us at support@indiecree.com. If you need any samples, if you want to see any sample fax blasts, if you want to see any sample brochures, if you want to see anything, just email us at support@indiecree.com. You guys, do me a favor. Go to LinkedIn and post something for me, even if it's just a comment, even something. I really want to create a good, solid community, and I want everyone contributing. So if you can do me that favor, go to LinkedIn and post a discussion. I appreciate it. But otherwise, we're going to be in Newport Beach in a couple of weeks. So those of you who haven't been to a course in a while, I'm going to recommend 2012. It's all new Private Practice Secrets 2 Day. So I expect to see all of you guys again sometime. So have a great night.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.